welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Great to be in the house together this morning. I want to, for the short time I've got, just continue from where we started last week. For those that weren't with us last week, God has been speaking to me for a few months now concerning a culture of generosity and giving in the house of the Lord. And last week I started to lay a foundation for that. I'm not going to go back on that, but if you weren't here, you can get hearing that. I encourage you to hear it. I'd just like to take that a little bit further, a little bit deeper. What does a culture of generosity and giving look like? Well, another word for culture is our lifestyle. Do we function according to this lifestyle? And this lifestyle that the Bible teaches us is a lifestyle that comes from one source and one source alone. It cannot come unless it comes from this source. A lifestyle of generosity, a lifestyle of giving comes out and from love. God is love. Of course, we dealt with some of this last week, just laying a foundation. God is love. God loves us. God started off giving. My goodness. He started off giving. And he has continued through the scriptures revealing to us that he's a giving God. There's a lovely little song. I'm not going to sing it for you. I'd love to, but you might cry or something. His love, his love knows no measure. Do you know it? His love knows no limit. His grace knows no measure. His power, no boundaries known unto man. And out of his infinite riches in Jesus, God giveth, and giveth again. Hallelujah. Now, that's why we can do what we've just done, hold up our Bibles and say, because of this, I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do, and I have what he says I have. Because he's such the God that we have, a God who is love. And it's out of that love and from that love that you and I are here today, born again. It's because of that love that you and I, being born again, are able to go and do exploits, live outside of the realm of just being a human being, like anyone that's not born again. But I'm more than a human being. You're more than a human being if you're born again today. You're God indwelt. The Spirit of the Lord dwells within you and I. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Spirit of the Lord? Is that just a spirit? It's God Almighty. For God is spirit. Praise God. God is a spirit being. God is spirit. Whatever phrase you want to put on that. John's Gospel chapter 4 says God is a spirit. And we thank you that God is not just the Father, but he is a Son, and he's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And that's who is alive in me. That's who's alive in you if you're born again. You cannot live an ordinary life with those three dwelling inside of you. You can't live an ordinary life. You're looking at me with a straight face and sort of a strained forehead, you know. How can I not? Well, your Bible talks in one place about the importance of putting new wine into a new wineskin and not into an old wineskin. Because if you put new wine into an old wineskin, the skin bursts, the wine is lost, and the wineskin is rendered useless. Of course, the wineskin that the Bible's referring to is the skin of an animal that's dried out and stitched together until you've just got, however they do it, then they pour the wine in it. And so he says, don't put new wine into an old wineskin, because an old wineskin is dried out by the sun. It's not supple. It can't give. It can't yield. It's beyond it to be able to do that. And so the fermentation of the new wine that's inside of it is bubbling up, bubbling and bubbling. It's moving. You can't hold this still. And this new wine will crack open this old stale dried out wineskin. And not only the wine will be wasted, presence of God, but the wineskin rendered useless. That's what I'm saying. If you're born again and the Holy Ghost is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit's living in you and me, you cannot but be changed. You cannot, through this word, but be who God says you are. Hallelujah. And if you and I don't respond to that, you know what's going to happen? You and I are going to become a dried out old wineskin. And the tragedy is that what God was going to do would just be wasted. What God wanted to do in your life and mine would just be dissipated. It won't be able to happen because the wineskin now is broken. Oh, isn't it awesome to have God inside of us? You're very straight-faced this morning. What have I done? Didn't I shave or something? But this is a great day. Amen. So I'm talking about a culture of giving. Because God's been talking to me over a number of months, as I intimated. He caused me to begin to understand the importance of this lifestyle, which is God's lifestyle, which he put into the church. Ah, there's so much flooding here, so I'm going to just have to try and rein in on some of it. But the culture of giving and generosity within the church must exist if we're really going to touch those who are outside of the church. And if that spirit of generosity and giving is not in the church, it's got nowhere to go because it's not there. There's only one place it can be, and that's in the life of the believer. It doesn't work in the head. It works by the Holy Ghost through us because we yield ourselves. When that new wine is put into a new wineskin and that wine starts to bubble and gurgle and expand, do you know what happens? The wineskin gives with it and goes with it. When you and I resist the working of God, the plan of God, the desire of God for our lives as Christians, and if you're not born again today, his plan for your life can only begin when you invite Jesus into your life. Then that which God had planned and purposed is wasted. And so the culture of giving and generosity must begin within the house. And that's where God's started me on a journey which is, for me, exciting. It has to begin in the house. You see, this house here is a family. Every local church it's supposed to be a family. Tragically, too often, we're not a family. We are adherents. We are people that go to church. We aren't people who are the church. We people that attend church. I don't go to church. I'm part of the church. This local church is not just because I'm pastor of it. This local church, just like any one of you that's not present during a morning service, and you're part of this church, this church suffers because of the lack of your presence. It's building. Your generosity of the spirit of generosity and giving begins with us loving God that much. It begins, I'm going to the house of the Lord. For no other reason, I'm going to magnify God with the saints. I'm going there as a worshiper. I'm going there to exalt the Lord. I'm going there to enthrone him in my praises. Nothing's going to stop me shouting for joy. My goodness me. I've seen drunkards, didn't know what they were doing, going silly, trying to sing a song as though they were the Beatles or whatever. Silly. Why? Just drunk. I'm not drunk. Just with God's love that's touched my life and changed it, as he will with anyone that will allow him. So I come to the house of the Lord for no other reason but I can join with the saints to magnify God. The greatest part of the service for me is exalting the Lord. enthroning him with praise, magnifying his name. Isn't that awesome? That's where it begins. That's God's love that's changed my life and now flowing out of me in the terms of the scripture, out of my innermost being, flowing these rivers of living water. It's the Spirit of the Lord flowing out of me and you. Hallelujah. But he can't flow unless we open the floodgates. Say, Lord, here am I. Have your way. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. I can do all things through Christ, and so can you, as long as we walk by faith. That song, you let us in there, Chris. Hank, he had a fantastic, scary line to it. What was it? The last one you sang. Walk on water. Walk on water. What does that mean? That means walk by faith and not by sight. What's faith? Is faith a feeling? Is faith an emotion? What is faith? Faith is this word, God, put into action in your life and mine. Hallelujah. Yeah, walk on water. Have you tried it? Walking on the water is walking by faith. When Peter stepped out of that boat because Jesus just said simple words, come. And he stepped out onto the water. That wasn't his brain at work. If that was his brain at work, they should have done something with him when he was a lot younger. That wasn't his brain at work. That was his trust in the man who he knew was God. And he said, in spite of the circumstances, he said, come. That was enough. You see, the rest is whether you believe him or not. Not the word. No problems with the word. The problems with you and me. If you believe him, then you believe this word. If you don't believe him, you don't apply this word to your life. The just shall do what? The just walk by faith. The just live by faith. Faith? Faith? A feeling? No. An emotion? No. Faith isn't a feeling. Faith is not an emotion. Faith is this word of God believed enough to do it. That's it. Glory to God. The Greek word for house is a very interesting word. It doesn't just particularly talk about a physical building, which if we think in terms of a house and we refer to a house by that name, our concept is the building. But this Greek word, I think it's oitos, oitos, this Greek word doesn't major on the building, the house itself. It majors on family. The Greek word there doesn't talk about the house. It relates to family. That's what it relates to. So when we find the scriptures talking about the house, you need to get a new revelation of what he's talking about. He's not talking about a building. He's talking about a people built together. Hillary and I, one day, we became a husband and wife and we raised a family. And that is what that Greek word is talking about. Yet, it's referring in our Bible as house. What's a house without people? It's a home without people. In fact, it's a home without people. Depends on your outlook of the word. And so, if we consider that, then we have to realize that there's a lot more to it than this, because it talks about the family or the people in the house, in this house. in your house, not your house. It talks about them as a people. It talks in the same sense as the sphere of influence that you have. You know, when I was a young boy, I had the key to a front door. I could come in and out. That was my sphere of influence being shown. I had influence in this place here. I could come in and go out as I wished. Does that make sense to you? So this Greek word speaks of your sphere of influence with those around you. Because you come to this church, because you are members of this church, those that are members, you can come in here and do things that a stranger outside, though a Christian, couldn't come in and partake of. They're not part of that sphere of influence. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this Greek word is, and I'm laboring on it because we must get an understanding of this, otherwise we'll never get togetherness. No more will your home to become a family of togetherness unless you understand what God's plan was. God says in the Bible, he says he puts the solitary into families. God's not got a plan for you and I not to be part of a family. When our children were born, do you know, every one of them were born into a family. It's not God's intention to have happen what's happening around our nations today. Children born out of wedlock. No real parents. No real home of ownership. Not raised up with an environment where they have their own sphere of influence. It's demonic. It's against the plan and purpose of God for mankind. I'm just talking there naturally. How much more then do we need to get digging into this whole truth when it becomes the local church? How much is this local church a local church? Of course, the local church talks about a building. Are we adherents? Do we just come when we like, or are we part of it? Do we have a sphere of responsibility and accountability within that place? Or is it just somewhere I go? Because if we don't settle this within our hearts, we will never become, nor will any local church ever become, the local church that God purposed it to be. We'll be Christians that meet together on a Sunday morning with some people who are not born again yet, and we sing some songs and choruses and whatever, and hear a message and we go away. But we're intrinsically knit together. The Bible says built together, the house of the Lord. There's that same word. In the Greek, it's the same one. Built together, the house of the Lord. But if you and I haven't got a revelation of that, we live without being aware of it. We live a lifestyle that is contrary to the plan that God had in mind. We just go when it's convenient and we do things when it suits us. But we don't spill blood for it. We don't go to prison for one another. We are not in a realm where we have a sphere of influence and responsibility and accountability. I'm laying a foundation for the house right now before I talk about any more about culture of generosity and giving. So that's so important for us to grasp. For instance, I've said that in a family, in our family, in your family, no doubt, I'd like to think that there is a sphere of influence. God makes us stewards of all the relationships that we have. So that's in our family, I'd like to think in yours. Because we are a family, we are stewards to one another. Should be. In other words, let me use a scriptural term, our brother's keeper. We should be so close-knit as a family that we will be there for one another. Whatever it is, good or bad, we'll be there. The same principle applies in the local church. And that is imperative for us to be able to operate and function. Likewise, God holds us responsible for the reaching out to all of those people who are within our sphere of influence, within our natural reach. So anyone that's within my or your natural reach, I'm to be God's instrument to them in whatever area it is. And it begins, but not necessarily, it begins with loving them enough to share the love of Christ. It further followed up by us showing our love for one another. How can we help? What can we do? That's where this begins, this culture of generosity and giving. It begins there. Maybe I should start to put some biblical meat on some of these bones that I'm giving you. Let us let's go to extreme. Let's 1 Timothy 3, right about verses 4 and 5. 1 Timothy 3 is one of the scriptures that God gives to the local church as to how to recognize leadership and the qualifications and standards that need to be in place in an individual's life if they're going to be a ruler in the house of the Lord. That same word house is there, but the house... they're not going to take special requirements from an individual to just to look after an empty building. No, it's the people of God. Can we put that one up? Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Or maybe if you start from verse 1, it's just so as everyone's in the context. Verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, or want of a better term, a bishop is a ruler in the house of the Lord, an elder in the body of Christ. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. Let's go to verse 4 and 5 we'll do now. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church? Now, here's that word house again, but it's not the building, it's the people in it. And God here is showing us early on the importance of what the people in that building function like, operate like, relate together like. Because if there's not love flowing, irrespective of any reason that you think love can't flow, because love knows no limits. God's love for you and me didn't ask one question of me. It didn't. When I got born again, I don't know if you happen to find this to be the case with you. When I was born again, God did not ask me one question concerning the way I'd live without Him. Never did. He just let me know that the price for my sin, for my shortcomings, my failure, had been paid for. It had been paid for in the person of Jesus. God had demonstrated to me so much that I was delivered. So therefore, if a man does not know how to rule his own house, not the building, but fellowship of people inside there, how will he take care of the church of God? So I'm sharing that simply for us to launch off, I guess, and get a grasp of the fact that God is talking about you and me in the local church here. He's talking about us. He's talking about how important it is that we function together, and we as parents are supposed to raise their children, the Bible says, in the way that they should go. It's in the house. Why? Because God's got a purpose. Why has He got a purpose like this? Because everyone that's born, didn't say again, was purposed by God. before the foundation of the earth, every one of us that are on the planet, have been on the planet, will be on the planet, were planned and purposed by God. And so here we have the scripture showing us the importance of that. Let me take you another scripture. Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse 6. Let's go back maybe to verse 1, shall we? We'll get the context here. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all of his house. It wasn't just his house, he was faithful in the nation. 3. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. Thank you. I've just shared that scripture really to try and communicate what I started to say, which is this, that we are the house, not the bricks and mortar. Now I know you know that, and I know we all know it. Question is how much it, that we know it here and how much we know it here, because it's out of the knowing it here that our actions start to change. Those actions will carry the hallmark of love. Love unlimited. Because we've been forgiven. We're part of the household of faith. We are brothers and sisters together, and we love one another. Now, if we have problems and difficulties in showing that love to each other, if we can't do, for instance, what we need to do at times when we fall out, and we give each other the hard shoulder, or whatever it is, the brush off, when the scripture says, if you know... Listen to this. If you know that someone has ought against you, so far there's not a third party involved, it's all coming back to you. If you know that someone has something against you, go to him and be reconciled. It didn't say go and talk to him, and it didn't say go and try and negotiate. It didn't say go and talk it all over, because God didn't do that with you and me. He didn't talk it over with us about our sin. He just was reconciled. How did he reconcile? Through his son. What price? Unlimited, unbelievable the price. He simply says, go and be reconciled. You say, Pastor, we're talking about a culture of giving and generosity. Yeah. But it begins and comes out of love. And if the love's not flowing, you'll never put your hand in your pocket and say, here's £1,000. I heard that you just had someone smash into your car and your insurance just run out the day before and you're in trouble. Here. You'll never do that. God's talking to us about a culture of generosity and love. But unless we grasp the fact that we are bone of each other's bone, flesh of each other's flesh, because we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that makes us all one in Christ. All that we'll have is a theory here, but no outworking of it in our heart. So when we understand the scriptures that we've just read there, we are his house. We are. So if we develop that further, we start to understand that God really has a lot more for us to allow him to do in us that he can work through us. And the only way it takes place, it's the only way that it was able to happen for you and I, and that was somebody had to pay the price. Somebody had to pay the price. For you and me to be sitting here as born again believers today, Jesus paid it. For someone within this church that's got some dilemma, some need of help, comfort, whatever it may be, or any church, the only way it's going to be ministered is because somebody there within that body will pay the price. And it should be every one of us that's a candidate. Am I getting anywhere? Yeah. God's after us, church. We've been purchased. We're not our own. It's not for us to live the way, oh, well, my feelings or my circumstances. No, it's the Christ in me that wants to live out from me. Hallelujah. Could you imagine? I think this is a great church. I'm serious. I boast upon this church wherever I go, and been in a lot of countries and ministered a lot of places, and I boast on this church. I've had people through the years, Hillary's sitting there, she can tell you whether this is the truth, and I may have shared it with you sometime. So why are you still in that church? Why are you still pastoring there? I've had churches offered to me with great offers with it, not interested. I'm doing a work where God has placed me with a people that God is working in an awesome manner. That's family. That's God, the head of the family. And the more that that develops with me and you and us together as individuals, the more that we can do for our town, the more that we can do for our county, the more that we can do for our nation, the more that we can do because we've got all the other stuff that's been stopping us because it's been blocking our mind, blocking our time, and taking our money, that we're there. We're there. Because this energy isn't mine, belongs to the body here. This money isn't mine, belongs to the body here. This gifting isn't mine, belongs to the body. And when that starts to function, using myself again as a physical expression as to what this house and any local church is supposed to look like, one body, that one body is the person of Jesus. And people come into here, they're supposed to come in and not say, wow, what a friendly people. Wow, what great worship and praise. Wow, what great, wonderful, special, oh, that's awesome preaching. No, not be naughty. Not supposed to do any of that. They're supposed to come in here and say, wow, I feel the presence of Jesus. There is something here I can't describe. It is overwhelming. Do you know, I went into church last week with this, and I went out without it. Glory to God. That's what they should be saying. That can only be because there's the person of Jesus who is generosity, who is the giver in it. Are we getting any warmer? That's what God's speaking to me. And within, I think, it's been over about 3 to 4 months now, but after a few weeks, I started to understand in my spirit that the parallel to our ability to reach Bangor or wherever was totally dependent upon what was happening inside the house and with the house. Because if we don't love each other enough to lay down our lives for one another, we're not going to love each other enough to go to those rude people who slam the door in your face and doesn't want to talk about you and call you those crazy people. You know, in the early days when we started the church, and we had people, we started off, but it was one of our stepping stones, Kilcoorlie Community Centre. We'd have people coming up because they could hear all this stuff going on inside. It sounded like I'd gone wild. Looking in because we were dancing and we were clapping and whoa, there was such a shindig going on in that place. That's right. Yeah. And it was in a time when there was little of that, if any of it, taking place. But God has started to work through this word into our hearts and our lives. And we said, that's not there for no reason. That's there for us to start to live. So then we had to start. I'm going off, but I'm going to close anyway. But that's demonstrated when I knew that we were clappy people now. We were praising people. And I'm a very... you know, correct sort of person, you know, if you know, I'm a shy person, if you like, you know. And the time came when I knew that we had to go beyond this and do this, you know. Praise God. And I want to tell you, And I've watched it through the years. I've watched people try. You can't do it. You can't do it unless you're liberated. You can't do it. I know. I tried. You can't do it. You just can't do it. But I knew, and I've learned something through the years that God's been leading Hillary and I in the ministry, that the church is never going to get higher than their leadership. Never going to get higher. On this occasion, I knew we're at next stage and we've got to get these people dancing, you know. But I couldn't do it. You probably heard me say this to you. I every time, just about the right time, people were clapping or whatever. This is the time to... But I couldn't get it. That went on for days and weeks. I don't know when I may have shuffled like this. And then one day there was a lady. She came and sat right in the front row, and she had a little bit of this liberty in her. She's a bold lady when I think about it, thinking what she did. She got up out of her seat as the music was going, and she came out, took my hands, and she says, "Come on, Pastor, let's go." And she took me doing all this, and I was embarrassed, you know. But it broke the ice. It broke me. Been liberated from that way ever since. We've got to get liberated. We've got to die to self. Stop thinking, what do people think about me? Let them see Jesus in you. And as long as they only see him, they have no problems, whatever happens. Let's get liberated for God. Let's be genuine, that we can be genuine with each other. So we can just, everyone is the same. In this place, everyone's the same. I love you, and you are you, and 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 you. Just the same. Just the same. See, it's the Christ in me that's doing the loving. Because he wants to. He's longing to. And it's only out of that love that I'm there for you, or you're there for me, or you're there for whoever. A culture of generosity that's not based upon who my friends are, but who my brothers and sisters are. And then more than that, this family that lives together.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk.